The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Go with me, if you would please, the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Father, let every ear be anointed to hear, and every heart receptive receive all heaven has. This day we pray in Jesus' name. Now, let me just say this. I give people 15 minutes to get back in the seats. If they're not, I want every seat filled. Bring the people in from the outside, please, and fill every vacant seat. And then the people coming in 20 minutes later, they can go sit outside. It's the way it works here. So you're listening to me in the toilets, I know, because there's speakers in there. If you're not back in your seat in 15 minutes, your seat's going to somebody else. Amen. And then the rest, we've got ejector seats, which will just eject you out of the place. All right, let's read the scripture, shall we? Now, after the Sabbath, near dawn of the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala and the other Mary went to take a look at the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the boulder and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning. Everybody say lightning. Lightning. And his garments as white as snow. In other words, I don't think personally that the garments were just white garments. I think they were just the glory of God was so glistening on them that you couldn't really tell what they were. Are you with me? Because of the brightness of the glory of God. And those keeping guard were so frightened at the sight of him that they were agitated and trembled and became like dead men. Now, you have to understand that these are soldiers, and the last thing they're going to do is become like a dead person. What does it mean if they became like a dead person? That meant they fell under the power. So great was the power of God as the stone was rolled away that all of these soldiers that were keeping the tomb fell out. They didn't die. They were not killed, but they became like dead people. So, I mean, I don't want to do an illustration here where say to somebody, become like a dead person, but basically they just fall over. They're just dead. But they weren't dead. They were just under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So for all those that wonder where all this falling down in the Bible is, it's right there. It's right there, Matthew 28. If you can read, we can help you. Amen. And I always tell people, hooked on phonics, the basics of getting into reading, which will help you immensely. So the angel said to the woman, "Do not be alarmed and frightened, for I know you're looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said he would do. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead, and behold, he's going before you to Galilee, and there you'll see him. Behold, I have told you." So they left the tomb hastily. Now, I love this combination of words. They left the tomb hastily with fear and great joy. That doesn't even seem like it belongs in the same sentence, fear. Now, obviously, this was not an evil fear. This was a holy awe, like a shock, like the fear, a reverential fear. You know, when you just seen an angel, that's why I hear the stories of people say they saw an angel. I look at them, I go, "You never saw an angel. Look at you, you look like hell." If you see an angel, I promise you right now, your whole life, you'll look different. And you won't talk about it flippantly. It's not like I was at Cracker Barrel and I saw an angel and we sat down, we drank some sweet tea together. No, let me tell you, this is holy. These are holy things. So they lived with fear and great joy. So they were overwhelmed and they ran to go tell the disciples. Now, what do we see taking place at Calvary? We see God reaching down to man. I shared this on Friday. Jesus, the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus, 100% God, 100% man, coming to earth, taking on human flesh, going to Calvary, becoming sin for us. For the word declares, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we who knew no righteousness could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus was the Lamb. He was the man. He was God. He was the high priest. He was the sacrifice. Everything was done in him. That's why when he cried, "It is finished," that meant it was paid in full. Amen. Now, on the resurrection day, here he rises from the dead with the keys of death and hell and the grave. What we see take place was God reaching down to mankind. I'm so happy that we have a God that actually reached down to us. Religion is man trying to reach God, but Christianity, or the true sense of it, I know it's being distorted in many instances, but the true sense of it is God coming and reaching man through the person of Jesus Christ. For millennia, people have worshipped idols of wood and stone, gods that have eyes that cannot see, ears that cannot hear, and a mouth that cannot speak. But today, you and I worship the one and only true and living God, creator of heaven and earth. Religion has always been about man's vain attempt to reach God, but Christianity is about God reaching out to man by the person of Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so greatly loved and deeply prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten Son, so that whoever," how many whoever's are here, "believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him, shall not perish, will not come to destruction and be lost, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world or judge the world, to reject them or pass sentence on them, as some preachers think. You're all going to hell." Yeah, well, tell us something we don't know. I grew up watching Western movies. Anybody watch cowboy movies? The two gunslingers, they're about to have a shootout, and they look at each other and they say, "See you in hell." They knew where they were going. They didn't need a preacher to come tell them. We stop people on the street, say, "If you die today, where would you spend eternity?" They say, "I'm going to go to hell." People know where they're going. Sometimes they're trying to make an excuse, you know, "I'm a good person. I help old ladies across the street. A dove fell in my backyard and hurt its wing, and I fixed it up." And even a grasshopper the other day that had lost one of his little appendages, and I helped him, and I fed him a leaf, and he ate that leaf. And I'm a kind person. I helped a butterfly the other day. I bought everybody drinks at the bar. So people say there are many ways to get to God. They even say that though there are many religions, they all worship in the same God. Well, obviously it's not, because there's only one God who sent his Son, who paid the price. Because let me tell you, the difference between what we do and what all the other religions do is all the other religions have to earn their way to become right where God would accept them. And here's the crazy thing. With salvation, you don't have to do anything. All you have to do, obviously you have to repent, but you have to believe and you have to humble yourself. And what amazes me, we don't have to bow down so many times. We don't have to do all of this stuff. We don't have to chant rich mantras and do all kinds of stuff. Christianity is probably the easiest of anything, and yet the other people bound by religion, they do it faithfully, and the Christians can't even come for a prayer meeting. You call for a barbecue, everybody comes, their dog and their mother-in-law, for a barbecue. You call for a prayer meeting, not here at the river, of course, crazy people, they pray through the night, 12 hours. But I'm talking about the church in general. Are you with me? Come on. Anybody traveled a little bit outside of the river lately? Don't look at me like I'm talking something foreign, you know. So you call for a barbecue, everybody comes, call for a prayer meeting, and suddenly they've got something else to do. Yet in many religions, they have to do all these things to attain, to work their way up. But yet Jesus came to the earth to bring us up to him. We don't have to do anything to get up to him. He came to bring us up to him. So that even today, when you're born again, you are seated with him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. 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 We even going to change where you sit today. John 1 John 4 and verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. 1 John 2, 22. Who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist. He that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. He that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. So the Father sent the Son, and the Son sent the Holy Spirit. God, the three in one. Don't try to work that out with your mind. Just believe it. Can you say amen? Amen. Say this after me. The Father, sent the Son, and the Son sent the Holy Spirit. Where is the Father right now? On the throne. Where's the Son? At the right hand. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's here on the earth today. Amen. So this was a sacrifice of love. I'll be honest with you. I'm so happy. And of course, I'm not God. I mean, because I would have killed a bunch of people. Listen, if it was me, people would be erased. You would not even find a trace that they ever even existed. I'd go back in the lineage 2,000 years ago and their ancestors would be removed. God is so gracious. He is so loving. He is so kind. Are you with me? So this was a sacrifice of love. Sacrifice of love. The one we worship is alive, and we are allowed to have a personal relationship with him 24/7, not just once a week, not coming to some person who's closer to God than we are, and they saying a special prayer for us. Like people come to me, preacher put in a special word with the big man upstairs. Hey, stick around here for 5 minutes. I'll introduce you to him. Amen. Amen. I can introduce you where you can put your own word in if you'd like to. It's a love relationship. He loved us before we knew him, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4 and verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifest and displayed where we are concerned, in that God sent his Son, the only begotten or unique Son, into the world so that we might live through, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Romans 5 and verse 8 says, but God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ the Messiah, the anointed one, died for us. So that's this sacrificial love, because in the natural, just send them to a lost eternity. Who cares? They've rejected God. But yet, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So when Jesus died on the cross, he had you. He was thinking of Tony Carpenter. Isn't that amazing? He's hanging on the cross thinking of you. Thinking of Tommy Burns. Isn't that mind-blowing? And everything he did for you. That's why this is personal. It's a personal. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 5 years old. And so that's all I've known. You know, we travel, you bump into religious people, they don't even think that you're saved, you know. Or you're not even saved. And I look at them and go, the very fact that I don't knock you to the middle of the next week right now is proof alone that I'm saved. And then you understand the great work of grace that God has done. It's amazing how people want to walk around. You're not saved. Oh, you God. The thief on the cross got saved. The other one didn't. Both had the same opportunity. Jesus' blood and his body were given as an offering for sin and a purchase for our freedom. And he rose from the dead for our justification. When he rose, he actually came back from the dead to make sure that you get everything that he died for. He gives us his word. This is like the only contract that was ever done in the last will of testament of anybody who died and then rose from the dead and send power to make it come alive so that make sure that you get everything that he left you in his will. In his will. Hold your Bible in your hand. Say, this is the will of God.
This is the will of God.
It's God's will for me.
God's will for me.
And don't let anyone talk you out of it. Amen.
A
week before Jesus was crucified, he made a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But even as they worshipped him, he wept over Jerusalem. Why did he do that? In Luke 19 and verse 41, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that were made for your peace, but now they've been hidden from your eyes. He wept because they missed their day of visitation. There are many people, even today, listen, in the Tampa Bay area, people don't realize. They think that these things are coincidental or that Jesus' death 2,000 years ago got nothing to do with us today. But let me tell you right now, it's because of his death and his resurrection that we are going from house to house, that we're going from school to school, that we're going from neighborhood to neighborhood, that we're going into the prisons, that we're going to hospitals, that we're going to retirement homes, going to assisted living homes. Why? To announce to them the good news of the gospel, to bring this life. As that life has come to us, we carry that life to them. That's not coincidence, but yet some missed their day of visitation. No different than if he came here in the flesh today. Are you with me?
Yes.
Sometimes we talk to people. I'll give people a word of the Lord. You know, say, God's calling you into the ministry. They say, well, I'm going to pray, wait to hear from God. I said, he just spoke to you. He just spoke to you. We give an altar call for people to come and get saved. Well, I'm waiting for the Lord to speak to me. He just did. He just did. God sends messengers. God sends people. God's making every one of you, once he touches your life, he's making you a messenger of this good news that's going to affect your home, your marriage, your children, everything you do, your workplace, the people you work with. Everywhere you go, you're going to become that living billboard of the fact that Jesus is alive. Can you say amen? So they missed their day of visitation. Many people miss it today. I've seen that with churches and revival. You know, they just don't want the move of God. They are nervous about it. You know, they'd rather keep their religious people. And sometimes if you're going to have a move of God, you have to go clean the house, you know. You have to throw some people out. Just like Jesus, before he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, he asked people to leave the room, you know. Think about that. Would you be the one he asked to stay, or would you be the one he asked to leave? Jesus walks and says, I'm going to raise the dead and I need to do it, but I can't do it with you here. But Lord, I'd really like to be here. I want to see what you do. Well, I love you, son. Please just wait outside. I need to raise the dead. Would you be the one he asked to stay, or would you be the one he said to leave? Just asking for a friend. Too many people are so busy running, looking for that which does not satisfy, chasing the things that are temporal. You see people daily. Go, now, obviously, I'm not attacking bodily exercise, but you see people daily going to the gym, and they work out on the treadmill. They look like a bunch of hamsters just running there, you know. Okay. And they're pushing weights, trying to get, you know, their muscles and, you know, try to look like have a beach body. I'm going to have me a beach body. Look, it doesn't matter if you work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's no way in 100 million years you're going to have a beach body. Just get over it. I mean, not to be rude. Not to be rude. Some people have it, some people don't. Just be happy with the body that you have, you know. Obviously, try to eat correctly. But you look at everybody's racing somewhere. The traffic. They're going somewhere. Everybody's busy going somewhere. And a lot of what they're busy with is temporal. 100 years from now, it's going to mean nothing. If suddenly you saw in 100 years from now, you say, you know, I'm hurrying for nothing. This is of no consequence. This is not eternal. This is very temporal thing. That's why God wants us to set our hearts on eternal things. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Say this. I'm setting my hopes and my thoughts on things eternal. Everything's going to pass away. Yeah, heaven and earth is going to pass away. But God's word will never pass away. You can build the nicest house, but it'll be gone 100 years from now. Or maybe somebody renovates it and becomes a historical monument. But for the most part, it'll be gone. Florida homes are all made out of wood. One hurricane will blow away your house. It's built that way on purpose. And your toupee will be in another county. Eternal things. Eternal things. Today and every day we celebrate resurrection. That's why for me it's very hard. Like, you know, December people have Christmas. Every day is Christmas for me. Like, you know, Good Friday. Every Friday is good. What are you talking about? Happy Resurrection Sunday. You can't come here to a service at the river. It's a Resurrection Sunday. Our church, we're not seasonese people. We're not seasonese. You come here next Sunday, it's going to be a Resurrection Sunday. Amen. This coming Friday will be Good Friday. Yes. Amen. And Wednesday will be Christmas.
Hallelujah.
He's alive today. He's not just alive today because today is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. He's alive tomorrow. Yeah. The same one that goes, how many text messages did you get today about a happy Easter, resurrection day, memes coming in from all over the world? Like suddenly, wow, Jesus suddenly rose from the dead. Where was he yesterday? But I promise you right now, if I text somebody Thursday, happy resurrection day, they go, huh? What's wrong with you? No, it's every day, ladies and gentlemen. It's every day. He's alive today. He's alive tomorrow. It's joy to the world every day. Amen. So he loved us and loves us now. He gave his body and his blood as a ransom for many. He paid the ultimate price. He gave his all. He gave his life. Worship involves sacrifice. That's why I have no time for religion. These 1 hour dry cleaning services, in by 10, out by 11, 3 hymns, 3 hers, take up the offertory, preach from the Encyclopedia Britannica, and people go out just as dead as what they came. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Lord giveth, Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. I have no time for that. In the light of the cross, I have no time for that. I have no time for dead preachers who just get up and pray religious prayers. Dear God, as we gather today, Lord, we thank thee that thou, thy great love and thy great mercy, Lord, thou hast looked down upon us and our sin. Us in our feeble state, O Lord. Like, really? That's the best you can give us? Just get some kid up to pray. Just a simple prayer, you know. Something that's real, not put on. This is involving sacrifice. What sacrifice is there for you to stand there and do some religious nonsense? And you think that's going to change the world? That's not going to change your marriage. That's not going to change your home. It's not going to change your children. It's not going to impact anything. All you will be religious people. They come to church on Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, look like hell. And then come back to church, hoping God's going to pull you out of the mess one more time. And then you sit home watching Christian television, trying to send a love gift, hoping that some preacher 1,000 miles away is going to rescue you out of your mess because of your $1,000 love gift. Well, they send you this bottle of Kleenex. This box of Kleenex that was used in the upper room. The box is signed by the apostles. I hate it with a passion. I can't stand it. If Jesus is alive, why do you look dead? If he's alive, why do you look dead? If Jesus is alive, why do you look sad? If Jesus is alive, why do you look so depressed? Is it because we live in a Western society where everything is materialism? That's why sometimes you travel to countries where there's poverty. People don't have much, but when they get Jesus, they're happy. And they're just happy. Yeah, everybody's miserable. The phone won't work, a lost cell signal, the satellite, the GPS is not working, you know. My wife, was it your birthday? She wanted to go see this movie. The movie came out. It's called Babies. Babies, four babies. She wants me to take her. I got to go watch a movie with four babies on it. Like, really? Seriously? But because I'm a loving husband, she wanted to go see a movie with four babies. I'm going to go. We arrive at the theater. It's a matinee playing. The room was filled with people from a retirement home. I'm sitting there. I could tell you what happened, but I'll leave it alone. And I'm sitting there. But so then I thought, well, I'm here. I might as well make the best of it. So I'm watching this movie. It was involving four babies. One was a Japanese baby from San Francisco, I think it was.
Tokyo.
San Francisco. And then a San Francisco baby. Mongolia. And then one from Mongolia, which then I was really watching Mongolia because I wanted to go there. How many years ago was this? 2010, okay. So, I'm watching Mongolia, and then Namibia. The Japanese baby was the most miserable baby. It had snot nose, it was crying, it had everything, cribs, it had toys around it, it was whine, it was crying, it was screaming the whole time. And I'm not against Japanese babies, I love babies. Baby's a baby, I don't care what country they're from. The baby in San Francisco was like miserable. It whined the whole time. It was crying through a temper tantrum. I'm one of them threw a temper tantrum. The two happiest babies were the babies that had nothing. The Mongolian girl, this little girl, she had nothing. A goat sticks its head in and she just touches the goat and she's got nothing. And then the Namibian baby didn't even have clothes. Totally buck naked. Biggest smile on her face. Was a little boy, buck naked, got a rock in his mouth, chewing on a rock, and he was the happiest baby on the face of the planet. And I said to my wife, look at the difference between societies. The ones that have little, they're just happy. They're just happy. Here in America, everybody's miserable. Even the ones that say, I'm on the poverty line. What's the poverty line now? What, $13,000 a year? Come with me, go with me to Latvia. Go with me to the Ukraine where the monthly salary is $200 a month. $200 a month is the monthly salary in these countries. That even the people that are on the poverty line in America are richer. I'm sorry to tell you. Than many of the people around the world. But here's what you have to understand. When Jesus comes in your life, you are richer than anybody else. Because the thing you have is eternal life. And the thing you have is peace. Peace with God. Peace that passeth all understanding. That you don't need to pop pills to get peace. You don't need any of that stuff to try to relieve the anxiety and the pain and the worry and the concern. When the Prince of Peace walks in, everything changes. You're already rich. It's not the car you drive. It's not the house you live in. It's not the clothes you wear. It's not any of that stuff. It's Jesus coming to make his home on the inside of you. Are you with me? If you want to wear a bright jacket, you can, but you don't have to. So the beautiful thing about this is our relationship with him. We can talk to him. He talks to us. We speak, he listens. We speak, he hears. And it should be that when he speaks, we listen. Can you say amen? He loves on us. We love on him. We tell about him. He tells about us. Somebody said, he wouldn't talk about me. Yes. Look, he did it with Job. When the devil presented himself before God, God said, have you considered my servant Job? God was bragging about him. Are you with me? Now, our worship is not just this morning, as I bring this to a close. Our worship is not just this morning. I promise you, tomorrow I'm going to be as passionate about this as I am today. Your worship is in your whole demeanor. It's not just in the act of kneeling or with your hand raised or clapping or whatever or giving. Those are just actions. Worship is what flows from your heart. You lie on your bed, in the shower, you drive down the road, you worship him. And you love him, and he loves you, and he's that interested in you personally. Down to the very things of what you like and don't like. He knows all your concerns. It's about surrender. It's about surrender. Everything that we do, it's about surrender. We surrender. My life is not my own. I don't belong to myself. I belong to him. Everything I have is his. And your life is a living testimony to his goodness, to his grace. And that's why your voice must be heard. You have to lift up your voice and proclaim. Somebody said, my testimony is not really going to mean that much. What, you know, God's going to use somebody else. No, God's going to use you. Because that's your worship. People say to me, how can you run to all these cities and go night out? It's my worship. It's my worship. It's my worship. Well, Brother Rodney, you can't work that hard. It's my worship. What do you mean work that hard? This is not work. It's like a vacation. Obviously, your physical body gets tired, but it's going to get tired anyway. I would get tired working in a coal mine. Hello. Are you with me? Well, you don't want to burn yourself out. How can you with the fire of God? How are you going to burn yourself out with the fire of God? It's your joy. It's your worship. And guess what? As you give out, He gives to you. As you bless, He blesses you. As you obey Him, He takes care of you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And we know that our life will come to an end. The day will come when every one of us will breathe out our last breath. But when that day comes, we'll know we did everything in our life to worship Him. From the time we rose from our bed in the morning time to the time we put our head down to go back to sleep, that everything we did was about worshiping Him and honoring Him and bringing glory and being proof producers of the fact that He's alive. Are you with me? Do you realize that you are living proof to the rest of the world that Jesus is alive? Huh? Do you realize that? Do you realize that people are going to take one look at you and say, I didn't think there was a God, but I just met somebody. And I tell you what, I had to rethink everything. When they walked in the room, they looked like Him. They talked like Him. When the very atmosphere of the room changed, I had no hope, and suddenly hope came. There was no life about me, but suddenly life came. I was discouraged. I was about to quit. I was about to give up, but they walked in and everything turned around. I was about to quit. I was about to throw in the towel. But when I met them, I encountered something bigger than them. It's not about the vessel. It's about what's in the vessel. Are you with me? Because we don't lift up a man or a woman and put them on a pedestal. But the Bible talks about the beautiful feet of the ones that brought the glad tidings of great joy. I said this to Brother Reinhard yesterday. We were sitting around the table. I said, it's 79. He said, look, I don't know how much time I have left. I said, it doesn't really matter. God is using you now. He, instead of traveling 250 days a year, He's traveling 40 days a year, which is still a grueling travel for a person under the conditions because of his health, of what he's been battling. But let me tell you right now, I said, the day will come, Brother Reinhard. And I just started talking to him. I said, when you leave this earth, and because... Man, I'll tell you, I said, and you leave this earth, and an announcement will be made in heaven, the arrival of Reinhard Bonnke. And I said, when that happens, every person that's already gone on that came to Christ because of your ministry will line the streets of glory to welcome you in as you walk in before the very throne of God. Let me tell you right now. So we're all running that race. And then we're running with that baton. And then we'll take that baton and we give it to the next generation who will take the baton and we'll run on. We're not here to live in perpetuity. So you're not going to come here 200 years from now and there's a sign, Rodney R. Brown. Nobody will even know who Rodney R. Brown is 200 years. Nobody will even care. May that name, may it never be put in on any... Yes. Engraved stone. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it's not about the vessel. It's about Jesus. It's about the resurrection and the life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. What do I have that comes from me? Everything I have comes from Him. There's nothing that I have that comes, that originates from me. And if I give it to you, Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. So we give it away, yeah, have some. And then you grab a hold of it, and then you go give it to somebody else. And then they grab a hold of it, and they go give it to somebody else. And it begins to multiply. One person catches fire. They ignite another individual. They catch fire. Three more catch fire, and the fire begins to spread. That's why you'll never stop the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can kill every Christian. You can burn every Bible. But you will not stop the power of the gospel. The gospel will prevail. In every nation of the earth, the fire of God will spread. Why? Because it is eternal. And when He rose from the dead, it's not something in history. It's not something that we just read in a history book. It is a living reality, a living testimony that He is alive. He is alive. He is alive. I am forgiven. He is alive. You are forgiven. He lives. And He's coming very, very soon. Grab me a microphone quickly. In 60 seconds, tell what happened when the angel came to you when you were 8 years old. Say exactly what happened.
Angel said, Jonathan, God's reserved you for this last period of time to be an evangelist, to call men and women that are now in darkness into light, for soon it will be eternally too late. Do you understand? And I said, yes, and he left.
So what happened? That's why he's in the ministry today. I said, you need to write a book. He said, it'll be just like a page. I said, write a book where the angel came. He said, well, not going to be much of a book. It'll just be a page. I didn't have an angel come here to me at the age of 8. I didn't have a speech impediment and a problem walking. But I had God call me. And God's calling people here today. And I'm not an angel, I'm just a messenger. I just bring a message today. And today you can decide and say, yes, Lord. Today you can say, I surrender. Or today you can say, no. But the fact of the matter is, you'll always remember today. Even 100 years from now, you'll remember. And no one will ever have an opportunity to say to the Lord, I never had a chance. Because God will remind you of today. I want everybody to bow your heads across this room. While heads are bowed inside and outside in the overflows, I want to give an invitation, please. Only those that are helping to move. Nobody else move, please. It's imperative. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you've come here today onto this property, you've given yourself to put aside this day to come and spend this service. But maybe you came here today and you've never ever given your life to Jesus. You've never said, Jesus, come and be my Lord and Savior. I want to ask you a question. What would happen if today was your last day on the earth? If you went home tonight and you fell asleep and in the middle of the night you breathed out your last breath, and where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid, the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all the guilty stain. Today, the power of sin will be broken. Today, the power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life. You might have come in here one way, but you'll leave another way. Today, the Lord calls you. Will you surrender to Him? You might never have another opportunity. Will you say, Jesus, come and be my Lord and Savior? He loves you, and He stands with arms wide open. Maybe you came here today, you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were on fire for God, but something happened. It knocked all the breath out of you and set you back maybe 5, 10, 15 years. Maybe it's something hidden that no one knows. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things. But today God's calling you, says, come. Will you surrender to Him today? Will you say, Jesus, come? He said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everyone can see. People look at you, and the devil uses that against you to keep you in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened in your life. That's a lie. God's a God of a second chance. God's a God of a new beginning. And if you'll just say, I'm surrendering afresh to Him today, you'll see what He'll do with you. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. Would you do that today? Would you say, Jesus, come. Take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe a storm came against your life. You were going along and then out of the blue, this thing hit you. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. But today you say, I'm coming back. Today, I'm a fall in love with Jesus all over again. Today, I surrender. Acts 3 and 19 says, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of the heat, of reviving with fresh air will come from the presence of the Lord. Will you let Him revive you today? Will you surrender to Him afresh today? You can't earn this. You can't buy it. It is free. You just have to humble yourself to receive it. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord. That's not even a question. But today, as you are in this building or watching by way of television or in the overflow, you're sitting here today and you say, I'm not sure of my salvation. I don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I died right now, I'd go to be with Jesus. But today, I want to know that I'm a child of God. You can know. Will you surrender? If this is you and you fit into these three categories, I want to pray with you for you right where you are. Quickly, put your hand up and say, pray for me. All across the building, just say, yes, that's me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. In the overflow, outside, put your hand up high. All young and old, hands are going up all across this place. Quickly, slip it up high and say, yes, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. Today is my day. Today is my day. Slip it up high and say, yes. 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 You can put your hands down. I want you to look at me now, please. This section over here, going right outside to the tent, the overflow on that side, if you did not, raise your hand. But you want to be included in the prayer. I'm going to pray right now, right where you are. Quickly, just slip your hand up and say, include me. Anybody else, raise up high and say, yes, that's me. Thank you. God bless you. 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 This section here, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included. Put your hand up right now. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Slip it up high. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. This section, slip it up high. God bless you. This section here, right outside. Yes. Put your hand up and say, include me. Include me. I want everybody that raised your hand, I want you to stand, please. I want to pray with you and for you quickly. Stand all across the building. Outside, just stand in the overflows. We're going to pray. I want you to come from where you are. Come. Everyone that's standing, come. We're going to pray. Come stand right here. Come. Come from the outside. Come from the inside. Come. Today is your day. Today is your day of freedom. Today is your day of liberty. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take the whole world. But give me Jesus. You can take the whole world. But give me Jesus. Bring him in a little closer. Come into the front here. Right here. Come. 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 to follow Jesus. I have decided I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Oh, wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. I want everyone standing here, I want you to look at me right now. I was 5 years old when I came down to give my life to Jesus. So for every person here today, this is very important. If this is your first time or you're coming to recommit your life or you're coming to make sure, if you mean busy with God, God means busy with you. And I've had the privilege now of doing this in 78 countries of the world, and I bump into people 20, 25, 30 years later, they tell me what God's done in their life. And the testimonies, even out of this morning, it's going to be huge. Because today God sees you right where you are. And today you surrender to Him. And today He hears you. That's what this is all about. It's about a personal, intimate relationship with Him. Nothing we can earn, nothing we can buy. It's all free. We just have to humble ourselves to receive it. And it's for everybody. It's for every single person. So we're going to pray one prayer fits all. If you mean business, He means business with you. I want you to close your eyes right now and just raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And pray this together with me. Just say this out of your heart and your mouth. Say this out loud. Say, Father, I come to you. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin, and I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands and just begin to thank Him right now. Just thank Him right now. Just thank Him right now. Now, Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your Spirit, that not one will be missing on that day when we stand before you. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation. I break every bondage. I break every addiction. I break every blockage. I break every curse of witchcraft. We send it back to where it came from. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we set them free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost come upon each and every one. Put the fire on the inside of them. Fill them to the top, to overflowing. Fill them with your Holy Spirit and use them mightily to win many souls. Between now and the time they go home to be with you, use them to be mighty soul winners. Let mighty soul winners come out of this group, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just lift your hands one more time and just thank Him right now. Lord, fill them all with your joy. Fill them all with your joy. Fill them all. Let their cups run over. And Lord, those that don't have a cup, give them a brand new cup today. Fill them to overflowing, we pray. Fill them. Fill them with that joy. Fill them now. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many of you feel like something lifted off of you today? Amen. How many of you sense His presence on you right now? That, you know what that is? That's resurrection life. That's resurrection life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Gloria a Dios. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.